Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, my very good friends. I'm Andy Murray from What Culture. This is Adam Wilborn from What Culture. WrestleMania 40, the Raw after WrestleMania 40. Both of those things are in the books. The great switch up and restart and change and new stories and new matches and all of that stuff happens right now. And we're going to dive into some of them in this very video. Starting with one of the most obvious things, draft season is here. This was announced on Monday during Raw. We saw a backstage segment where Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce were vying for Andrade's signature, apparently. So we're going to see a lot of that over the next few weeks. It's often an interesting time of year, to say the very least. My question to you is, Adam, will we see the return of the robot?
I do hope so. I used to love when they'd celebrate getting the signing of Natalya or whatever it may be. Look, I always get weirdly excited around draft season, even though half the time it's just moving the same pieces around. But I am excited. I'm obviously a huge NXT fan. I sense there's going to be a whole load of call-ups. We obviously saw Dragunov and Perez on the main roster, but they're still champions, so they're not guaranteed to be called up straight away. I wouldn't be surprised if Dragunov and Perez do get called up in the coming weeks and months, though. And there's some great talents down in NXT, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, etc., that you can expect on the main roster very soon as well. And it'll be fun to see people in other places. I'm also intrigued to see how they work the whole Cody Rhodes situation, because traditionally, obviously, Roman was on SmackDown, but he was only ever there every sort of month or so. So is Cody, it looks like initially he's going to be doing both shows with the dates that he's posted.
I'd imagine the same for Damian Priest as well, because when you put red and blue together, you get purple.
Exactly.
Simple.
So yeah, how do they divide all that up? And I just think it's always a really exciting time of year, because especially when they don't do it around Survivor Series and confuse matters, it's just an opportunity to create a whole new set of matchups, which we'll get into in due course, of course.
Yeah, T-shirt time fast approaches.
Moving on, Bayley. She's the champion on SmackDown, for now at least. No belt swaps, by the way, in the WWE draft, thank you very much. And for me, I think in terms of what you do with that title and with Bayley, is just keep doing this, basically. She's awesome, she deserves a run at the top, and she can get the best matches out of everyone. And obviously we've had a heel champion in Io Sky on there for quite some time. So you want to switch it up. You want to build up heel challenges for Bayley, and she's just going to be brilliant at the top. I don't know how long she holds that title for. I sense probably not until WrestleMania next year, but I wouldn't be against it. I think she's just class, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice to see her in this position once more. It's been a while since she has been the Queen Pin. Is Queen Pin a word?
That's the thing now.
It is now of a division. And like I said on some other videos we've done already, I'm really looking forward to going back and watching her and Io again for a different perspective. But I think Bayley proved at WrestleMania that she's still absolutely 100% has it as the leader of a scene, the standard bearer in a division. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she does next.
And you can have her face other members of Damage Control straight out of the gate, because we all know the initial first title challenges aren't going to take the title away from her. But her against Dakota Kai in particular, I love Dakota Kai. I'm so happy she's back wrestling. And Asuka, brilliant stuff. And let's not forget Kairi Sane in all this too. you've got some ready-made challenges straight out of the gate, and then you can build up some other people, which I'll get onto in due course.
And those people might include these two, except they won't. But yeah, so the next segment is the Ballad of Sammy and Chad. So obviously, this is a long-running storyline in WWE, the training gimmick and Chad missing out on the title shot and Sammy winning the title from Gunther at WrestleMania. And then on this week's episode of Raw, Sammy promising Chad a title shot in Montreal next week after gifting him the pinfall victory in their tag team match against Imperium.
What a nice man.
What a good guy. What a soulful dude. What a nice person. I wonder if that will maybe come back and bite him on the ass. When has that ever happened before? But no, I am deeply into this.
Oh, yes.
And all the possible outcomes of this. The match on this week's Raw, I'd imagine it won't be the last between these two. I feel personally like this will lead to some kind of Chad Gable heel turn.
Yeah.
And I mean, him just being a vicious technical monster, physical specimen against the best sympathetic babyface in WWE, winning formula.
Yeah, he's an absolute beast in that tag match, just reminding us yet again on what amazing skills he's got, and he's been held back from using for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sense next week in Montreal, Sami Zayn gets the win in a really enjoyable, very close match. And Chad Gable's finally, maybe then or maybe in the weeks following that, finally snaps. He's had enough. And yeah, all the amazing stuff, the stalling suplexes, the big power moves that we see from him will have even more impact when he's dropping people on their goddamn heads.
Absolutely.
I think heel Chad Gable could be really something.
I know you've already
so seen. Excited to see it. I was praying for it on the Raw after Mania, but I'm willing to let it play out because, yeah, them in Montreal next week's going to be class.
If you turn to Montreal as well, my goodness, the heat is going to be off the charts.
Now, Sami Zayn used to be my pick for Money in the Bank every year.
Yeah.
Can't do that again this year. He's got a title and he's doing great stuff with it. So I've got a new pick. It's Tiffany Stratton, and I think she's amazing. I think, arguably, she could have had a spot on the WrestleMania card if you'd not done the big 3-on-3 match. I could have her facing Bianca Belair, for example. She's been awesome from her time in NXT, and she's really made that step up to the main roster immediately. She was the star, arguably, of the Elimination Chamber, and I just want a pink and fluffy briefcase, Andy. That's all I want. Yeah, I think she'd be an ideal person to hold the briefcase this year, because you do generally want heels to hold the briefcase, because it is a bit of a sneaky thing to do to cash in for an instant title shot. She doesn't need to cash in straight away. I think she could be great just walking around with it. And I know the fans do kind of love her, but she's a heel for now.
Yeah.
And she loves winding up the likes of Bianca and what have you. And I've heard for Women's Money in the Bank, men's I haven't really settled on right now, but I wouldn't be against Logan Paul holding that briefcase, you know. Prime briefcase.
So is SummerSlam coming up in his home city?
Possibly.
Did I imagine that? Let us know in the comment section below.
Right.
No, she's absolutely, Tiffany is the best possible example of what can be achieved with WWE's NIL recruit college athletes blueprint. She's a rip-roaring success. You will bring in 40 or 50 people, and you'd be lucky to get one Tiffany Stratton out of that group.
I think she's going to headline WrestleMania one day.
I agree.
That good.
I completely agree. She's remarkably advanced for her experience level in the sport, and I think she would make a great Money in the Bank briefcase holder. Speaking of Logan Paul, this guy, after defeating Kevin Owens and Randy Orton at WrestleMania, he had the Prime Cannon. He was a real piece of crap. He had some other TikTok, YouTube, crypto scam guy, energy drink guy.
Speed, yeah.
Not the Cristiano Ronaldo guy who I think two-footed Kaká in a friendly recently.
Yep.
Yeah, I learned that yesterday. He doesn't seem like a nice guy. But hey, neither's Logan Paul, so that's fine. What's next for him? This hasn't been teased, but with LA Knight beating AJ Styles at the pay-per-view, I think that'd be a really fun combo.
Mm-hmm.
Really electric. Obviously, Logan is an excellent heel. LA Knight is over huge. People just love going, in the arena. He really loves showing respect to his grandmother, LA Knight. We love to see it. But people would be really into this, and I think it would be good.
Yes, I think so too. I think he'd possibly be the best person to take that US title. I thought they were going to do that match possibly even at WrestleMania, but I think he's the person I'd have take the title off Logan Paul if he has to go away and do prime things or whatever. He does it as a multitude of businesses, Impulsive, etc. He could set it up with LA Knight, get into it on the Impulsive podcast, for example. He's a fantastic talker. And WWE's all about business opportunities. I'm talking Dude Wipes. I'm talking Wingstop. I'm talking all the other branding that we saw across Slim WrestleMania. Yeah. So, what I'm thinking is, combine the two parties, Slim Jim flavoured Prime. Thoughts? That's delicious to me.
I mean, we've got a bag of biscuits and gravy flavoured potato chips somewhere in here. Thank you to the wonderful gift from our live show. But yeah.
Thank you to Prime for feeding my soul on a daily basis because it's delicious and you should give it to your kids. Moving on, I want to talk about someone who's kind of low key. You haven't heard much about her. She wasn't really featured over WrestleMania, but I think. In the aftermath of WrestleMania, it's time to push Jade Cargill. Lots of people were questioning, well, she popped up in the Royal Rumble, big fanfare, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And they said, well, she was being trained up and what have you. And then she was, you know, brilliant in that 3-on-3 match. She's just such a dog. I mean, aura is right here. And then obviously she popped up on the Raw after WrestleMania to beat Chelsea Green in like, well, in a video short enough that WWE could post the whole match, including the entrances on Twitter. But yeah, it's time to push her. It's time to showcase the things that you've taught her because, you know, she was great in AEW, but she was limited in terms of a moveset. It was very sort of by the numbers. Yeah. And then she obviously finally lost, and then that was kind of it. I think probably she is going to hold the world title, maybe by the summer. I don't know. I wouldn't mess about with that. I wouldn't have any losses. I think she should, you know, people say, oh, you're Goldberg. Don't book her like Goldberg and bang on too much about the undefeated streak, but I wouldn't have a lose, probably.
No.
On the road to challenging someone, Rhea Ripley and SummerSlam. I don't know, I'm just thinking.
Be physical.
It's going to be a big year for Jade Cargill.
It definitely is. She's going to be pushed to the moon, and she should be. She radiates everything you want in a star. I think that, you know, we've not seen a great deal from her so far in the ring. Obviously, the Rumble, the six-woman tag at Mania, and the Chelsea Green squash. Yeah. Not a lot of ring time there. So it's hard to gauge, like, what kind of impact the time at the Performance Center has had on her in-ring stuff. But the in-ring stuff is secondary to someone like Jade Cargill, who has these just intangibles that simply cannot be taught. She's going to be pushed to the moon. I totally agree. She needs to be protected. She needs to basically never lose. And she needs to kick serious amounts of ass.
Yeah.
And that would be good.
Put her in handicap matches for me. Yes. Just have a beer about it.
Yeah, like be 7-on-1.
Yeah.
Do the whole division. Why not? One match. So, speaking of pushes, Jada Uso on this week's episode of Raw won a number one contenders match for Damian Priest's World Heavyweight Champion. He outdid Big Bronson Reed, Drew McIntyre, and Ricochet. Thanks to one CM Punk, who once again screwed Drew McIntyre over. We'll have a little bit more on that later on. But yeah, it's going to be a World Heavyweight title match. We don't have a date for it yet, but it's going down, it's happening, it's going to be a thing. I'd imagine Backlash in France.
Once we were doing the J thing, if people saw me typing on my computer, it's because I was looking this up. I'm sure you'll be able to hear it.
Pourtant.
That's yeet in French, apparently, according to.
Excellent.
Pourtant. Apologies if I've said something terrible there.
Yeah, you probably just got yourself cancelled.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite have the same ring to it, I'll admit, but shout out to France.
Excusez-moi if it is. Silver plate. Correct.
Jey Uso's getting a big push.
Yes, I don't think he takes the title off him, obviously. But it's good to see after WrestleMania he's being kept at that level, because the danger is, of course, once you've taken him away from all the bloodline stuff, he drops that. I don't think he's going to be a world champion anytime soon, but a mid-card champion or a
Main eventer.
Well, indeed. But the mid-card titles are getting up there now. They've done a stellar job of raising the prestige of that IC title. I don't think he necessarily takes it off Sammy, although the dynamic of those two suddenly going at it face versus face could be very interesting, but I think as a first challenger for Damian Priest, I think he's ideal.
Completely agree.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Moving on, speaking of title challenges,
Skadoosh. There she is.
Bouncing chairs off people's heads backstage. What a way to announce yourself on the Raw after WrestleMania. Great to see Liv Morgan back on our telly. And I like the story that they've got there. They haven't forgotten about Liv and Rhea and, you know, Liv's title reign and all that good stuff. Yeah, you could really build her up. You could. People will buy a potential title change, yeah. I think, in this match. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. But look, Rhea has had an amazing run. I was expecting her to drop the title at WrestleMania until I heard that crowd reaction. But yeah, Liv Morgan is someone who is just as beloved by the WWE audience as well. And obviously that's the direction they're going, as we saw teased on the Raw at WrestleMania, which I just want to mention that shot, by the way. She attacks Rhea. Dom pushes the camera away and it just goes down that hallway into the arena. I think the banging on broken record stuff, but the production has just come on tenfold, hasn't it?
Leaps and bounds. I'm so glad Kevin Dunn is no longer employed by TKO Group. I don't think, I agree, I don't think Liv's beating Rhea for the title, but look, she's very over. Like, the noise when she came on the screen in the arena last night at Raw, which is why we're filming this, was insane.
Yeah.
Crazy. One of the bigger reactions of the night that wasn't for The Rock or Cody Rhodes. She's got a lot of support.
Maybe big things for the Rumble stuff as well, so.
They've been telling this story, and yeah, she just bounced a chair off Rhea Ripley's head in a really amusing fashion, as long as Rhea's not hurt, and I don't think she is.
Yeah,
that's the direction we are heading with that. Speaking of new directions, that's the PO title after all. Here's
Michael
the big one.
Michael
Hamflet, what happened, Hamflet? You lost your Intercontinental title.
Oh, dear.
Lost to Sami Zayn at WrestleMania, but I believe this is the start of his push towards world championship contention at the very least. I imagine he'll be off TV maybe for a couple of weeks. He didn't appear on the Raw after Mania. His little buddies, Steve and Gary, did. and they lost to Sami Zayn and Chad Gable on the show Imperium did. But after this number of the beast, this 666-day title reign, the only way should be up for this guy, that kind of softens it a little bit. He's the best pure wrestler in the company, as far as the belt goes. And he's made an incredible transition from other places into WWE. I think that he should be the world champion at some point. I would hope that would happen this year. He might be a good guy to dethrone Priest if we don't have someone else in mind. I know Drew in Scotland is a very popular option. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Drew in a little bit. But if you're not going to go down that route, I mean, Drew versus Gunther would be kick-ass as well for the title. He's going in all the way to the main event scene, and I think he will be a world champion by the end of the year.
Yeah, a bit like Drew in Scotland, Gunther, not quite the same, obviously, but people are stupid and sort of conflate all these things together. Gunther in Berlin makes a lot of sense to crown his world champion. It'd be weird, obviously, because he's generally perceived as a heel and he'd get a hero's reception there. But yeah, I wouldn't have him necessarily come in and faff around for a bit. Arguably, you could have him not appear until he's one of the first picks. If I'm a general manager, he's one of my first picks in a WWE draft. Yeah, you're right. In ring, he's had the two consecutively best matches at WrestleMania, 39 and 40, in my opinion. He's going to be a world champion. I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. I would be disappointed because I want Cody to probably hold the title until WrestleMania next year for reasons we'll get into. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's the one who dethrones Cody. And I think, by, what is it, August, Bash in Berlin, I think it is?
Yes, it is.
I think by the end of August, he's a world champion and he deserves to be. Yeah, I disagree with anyone who says that him losing at WrestleMania has resulted in any loss of aura.
Not.
Just one chop and it's all back.
Yeah, your chest is caved in immediately.
I can't wait to see what they do next with Gunther. And I'm also very excited to see what they do with this rivalry, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Obviously, it all started at WrestleMania. It didn't. It all started at the Royal Rumble. But they've got a great story they've told throughout this year so far, particularly with the Drew title win, followed by the Punk attack and the Priest cash in, obviously. And then Drew called him a coward and an idiot and said it's on site on the Raw after WrestleMania. And then CM Punk cost him as he was about to hit a Claymore and win the match by grabbing his foot last night, and looked very pleased with himself. These two, I mean, I don't know what the latest is on Drew's contract situation. I sense he's probably signed or is just about to, because look at the way that they're booking him. And it's really exciting to see what they do with both of these guys, because the potential champions right now are stacking up. We've talked about Gunther. We've talked about bringing people up to the main roster, potentially. Bron Breakker is someone we haven't even mentioned, and I should have said there, because he's going to be a huge, huge player going forward in 2024. And you could make the case that both of these guys should be world champion as soon as possible. Punk wants to get over the injury. He can't wait to get back in the ring. And the first person he should want to face, and the first person who's going to want to get his hands on him, is Drew McIntyre. I can't even pick a winner from this.
Yeah, me neither. I think it has the potential to be one of the feuds of the year.
Yes.
Provided that Punker, he can stay healthy and he can not punch people in the face. Or, choke them out a little bit. I retract my
previous... We'll find out all on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Tonight on TV. It's going to be a great show! It's so believable and spiteful and mean and nasty. It's everything I like from pro wrestling. It cracks the veneer of that big glossy WWE-style presentation and taps into the kind of stuff that gets my blood pumping, brother. I think that the frankly unhinged segment with Seth Rollins the other week was one of my best bits of business the whole year. Obviously, I love Drew. I really love the Punker, although I accept that he is a flawed human being. Nuanced takes are good. I cannot wait. This is one of my most anticipated things of the entire year.
Especially now the shackles appear to be somewhat off, like you say, in terms of promos and in terms of a little bit of blood.
Yeah, you can say F-U-C-K now if you're the Rock. It's awesome.
Why can't we say it on YouTube? That's
very rude. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Becky Lynch. Her future is going to be an interesting question that will be answered in the forthcoming months, really. She's said herself, hey, my contract's up in 2 months. She said that at the end of March. Negotiation periods, I believe, have just begun. WWE under TKO are a lot later in negotiating new contracts with people. That's why you still have speculation on people like Drew as well. She obviously lost to Rhea Ripley at Mania 2. I would be very surprised if Becky Lynch left WWE. I think it is the perfect place for her and her family. And all of that stuff. She probably isn't going to want to wrestle forever. She's already been wrestling for ages. Like, she has a long career. Obviously, she retired for a while. But, like, even 20 or so years ago, Becky Lynch was active in various scenes around the world. So, her future is a question that's going to be answered. Where do you think that lands?
It's one of those ones where if you said to me tomorrow, Becky Lynch is going to AEW, I'd be like, great, let's see what she can do there. Or she's going to go and do... You know, a bit like Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné did. She's going to go and do some sort of... Great, I want to see what that is. I sense you're right, though. I sense, you know, Seth's in WWE for the long, long term. So I don't see why... At the end of the day, people don't forget that sometimes wrestlers might just want to go away and be a family. Yeah. She might just want to go away and be a mother. She talks about how much her daughter means to her and how it was difficult to get her, to go away from her and do this. But she loves being on the... I'm intrigued to see what they do next with her, because she's done that great run she had in NXT and she built up Tiffany Stratton, who we mentioned earlier. I think she's someone who could just go away for a while and then immediately be reinserted for a huge title match whenever you need. It doesn't require a lot of build. It requires, I think she sticks around in WWE, but for the time being, I don't know what she does. She's done face, she's done heel. I think she might go away for a while and then come back maybe around the summer to really kick into gear with a big few, perhaps with a new champion, perhaps with a Jade Cargill even. How fascinating. Speaking of megastars that are going away for a while, boom. The Hound. I'm gonna
dog. Yeah.
Just, I mean, such a weird void that's been left by this man who was, for so many years, just despised because he was rammed down our throats. And now, after that record-breaking title reign, after all those Mania appearances, and I know, you know, he used to take a break anyway whilst he was still world champion, but I think you're going to take an extended break now. Yeah, because you want Cody Rhodes to be the big guy in WWE without the shadow of Roman hanging over him, at least for now. Like, at some point in the year, Roman Reigns is going to come back. I don't even know if they're going to announce it. I think it's going to break the internet when he does. Is he going to come back still as Bloodline Roman? Is he going to completely reinvent himself? Is he even going to still be with someone like Paul Heyman? I sense probably, because I feel like they're going to keep that iron in the fire for this guy versus Dwayne whenever they fancy doing that. But yeah, you've got ready-made matches for him as soon as he walks back in. Seth cost him everything, effectively, by, you know, reminding him of his despising of Seth because of breaking up the Shield. You've got that match. You've got The Rock, as I said, and you've got Cody Roman 3, which will break the bank in terms of people wanting to see that. So yeah, I think it's just going to be a case of Roman going back to the Island of Relevancy with his knob out for a bit, and then coming back as and when he is needed. But yeah, a well-deserved break for a phenomenal champion, even though obviously elements of it was part-time, but that almost increased his aura, Andy.
Let me posit a theory. If the tribal... I think there's some interesting stuff they could do as well with reportedly Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga coming into the company. There's been all kinds of speculation as to what their direction could be, but I like the idea of kind of like a new bloodline being built up a little bit. Some fresh faces. Maybe things change. Maybe things get a little unruly while Roman's away. Maybe he needs to come back and sort that out. And all the great directions you've mentioned, a break will do him good. And I think his return will be gigantic.
Yeah,
and gigantic is what I said.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does some Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
He's been good in it when I...
Hobbs and Shaw?
Literally shouted spear in the cinema when he hit it. So, yeah, very excited to see what he does.
Absolutely fantastic. Right, let's move over. I've got two entries left here. We're going to talk about the... going to talk about the Code Man a little bit. But on Raw this week, there was a return vignette for one Sheamus. We've not seen him since August?
That sounds about right, yeah.
He was in Edge's farewell match from WWE. He's not been around since then.
Sunburn, apparently.
Yeah. That's what happens. Happens when you leave a
ginger. I'm allowed to say that, by the way.
Yeah, when you leave a ginger outside. It happens. But yeah, so he's obviously been away for like 8 months at this point, which is crazy. He doesn't seem that long. But the thing with him is that he's the perfect guy because he's so tenured and he's had so many titles and he's been around for so long. He's been so good for so long. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who you can just take, pop in a world title feud, beat, and then move on.
Yes.
And loses nothing. It serves his purpose and it makes the person who beats him look great. Which is why, for this entry, Cody versus Sheamus.
Oh.
Cody's first feud. All you need to do is have the Code Man come down with his belt, his suit, his microphone, crying about stuff. And then just have this guy bro kick his head off, man. And that you're off to the races. You don't need anything more than that. Simple, effective, and it would be a really cool match.
Yeah, the prime example, Chris Jericho, of go away so I can miss you.
Chris Jericho ain't ever going away.
Yeah. But I'm so excited to see him back. And I know, obviously, he's had his issues with being a wrestler because he's been doing this for so long. And people just love him, and quite rightly, he's just awesome. His style is so great to watch, and you talk about, you know, projecting to the back of an arena. You can hear the strikes that he drops on people from there.
Yeah,
I think you're right. You know, you could have a, just off the top of my head, and no offense to these guys, an AJ Styles or a Karrion Kross, for example, be Cody's first challenger, because we all know Cody ain't dropping that title until probably at least SummerSlam, if not after Mania next year. Who knows? This guy's a different proposition. People are like, they've only just brought him back. Are they going to do a big shock, you know, title switch straight out the gate? Regardless, he's, you know, whether or not he beats him or not, he is going to have a great match with Cody. And yeah, bring him back. Mohawk, gimmicks in his beard, I'm back. Maybe not that much, but great to see him on the Raw after WrestleMania. Yeah, fingers crossed that at SmackDown after Mania, you want to make noise as well and set directions going forward. Yeah, bro kicked a tearful Cody Rhodes.
Right, that's how you broke it.
That's indeed how you
just
do
like
it.
That.
But who else is Cody going to face? Andy, who are you thinking?
Not sure, pal. Wonder if the TV has a good idea.
TV?
Perhaps.
Yeah. It's a good shout.
Yeah. Good job. It sounds sharp.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The one good example of a belt swap that happened on the Raw after WrestleMania. What did he say when he put the Undisputed title on? This feels right. Meltzer reporting today that these two are set to go at it. A long way down the road, probably WrestleMania 41. And that's why I've already ordered my tickets for WrestleMania 41. We will be there. I'm just willing that into existence already.
I'll ditch it.
Yeah, because, I mean, the moment that we had the shenanigans of, what, you've won the Rumble, but you're giving it to him, and then, wait a second, Vegas, we want Cody, okay, we're going back to him, but then you're fighting him, but also there's Roman and Seth. People want to see this. Mm. People will sell their children to see this match. I will, because it's just huge. Cody versus The Rock, like, you set up in that Bloodline versus Cody Seth match, like, 3 or 4 manias.
Yeah.
You could do, you know, Roman Seth down the road again. Roman Cody, obviously, you can run that one back. Rock Seth, Rock Roman, and Rock Cody, most importantly. And you could just, like, they went, like, what, 45 minutes to open Raw? And we all said, every single one of us said, this could be the entirety of Raw for all I care. It's just the manner Michael Sidgwick coming off this. It's huge. Yeah, I think it's probably going to be Mania 41.
Yeah.
I don't think you don't need him to win the Royal Rumble. And it's a risk to put him in there.
It'd be funny if
he just comes back and he goes, guess what? I'm The Rock. I'm the boss of the company. And who's going to be in the main event? Who's got two thumbs, speaks French, is going to be in the main event? Mwah. Make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted this morning, I like two forms of wrestling, Puro and The Rock. That's currently where I'm at with my tastes. No, jokes aside, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Gee whiz, I'm 36 years old. I started watching wrestling very loosely in 1992, the odd VHS, whenever my parents brought one home over there. Started watching properly week to week in like 1997, so I properly grew up watching The Rock. It took until this year to see him live, obviously, wrestling, and I was completely enthralled. It didn't matter if he was just walking around the arena, throwing punches in slow motion. It didn't matter if he was going like this. It didn't matter if he was hitting the people's elbow. It didn't matter if he was hitting the Cody car. It didn't matter if he was pinning Cody. Then on the second night, I watched him get chokeslammed by the deer. Still felt the same way. We got to Raw, and he engaged in one of my favourite segments of the entire year with the Cold Man. I'm looking forward to seeing whatever the heck he handed over to him.
Yes.
It might be a hand grenade, but Cody might still be holding it. He doesn't want it to blow up. I'm looking forward to all of this. The Rock has come back and immediately become one of, I mean, for me, the best thing in the company.
Yeah.
I'm sad that he's going away for a while, but also I'm quite glad because I don't ever want to sicken myself of the Spinal Boss character. This is genuinely some of the best work of his career, and I think that this is a blockbuster match for the ages. And if it doesn't happen, you know, before WrestleMania 41 main event, come on, what else have you got?
It just makes sense, doesn't it? But let us know your thoughts on all these new directions that we pitched, or some of the new directions you'd like to see in the comment section below. Like, share, subscribe, you know what to do. And while you're at it, why not check out this video?
It's 40 fascinating facts from every WrestleMania, including this one just passed. It's a big boy. You're going to enjoy it. See you later.